Blog Talk Radio.
It's another beautiful day on Brown Sugar Radio. Get ready to ignite a passion and purpose of overflow. Cherish the value of being you and nurture your soul. Handle your business like a boss and take full control. I invite you to engage upon a journey of greatness and use the gifts within that God has made. This is the time to win and not to lose. So sit back, relax, and take off the blues. Get ready for another exciting segment here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's Brown Sugar Radio.
Well, here we are again. Yes. And I am so excited. You know how we are here on Brown Sugar Radio. All the Lord listeners got to make sure we show some love on this beautiful June day as we are waiting patiently for the beautiful K.S. Oliver. Many of you know her as her fan base is extremely heavy. And she's got a lot of amazing things going on. And it's just great to be amongst people that are doing some fabulous things in the community. And so it's just wonderful as we await for her to call in. She should be calling in shortly here. And let me see here. I just want for you guys to know that her story is phenomenal. I just want, you know, the reason why I selected her, many of you know that I hand-picked my guest on the air because I just feel that it's something very important. It's something special in her message. Granted, each person, they have their own special message that they have to send to others, but it was just something very moving, you know, about her story. And I can honestly say that it's beautiful, you know, to see when people are doing some great things, you know, and really making some awesome things happen there. And so not only does she have the hat of many, as you know her, as a phenomenal writer, and she's doing her own thing as an author and just really putting it out there in the community, but she's an advocate for lupus, and that's what changes. And so without further ado, we are going to bring live now the beautiful guest of the hour, Miss K.S. Oliver. Welcome to Brown Sugar
Radio.
Hey,
now.
How are you today?
I'm good, love. How are you?
Okay. Listen, I'm blessed. I'm so glad that you were able to, you know, because you got a busy schedule, girl. This sister is moving.
Not on purpose.
Girl, listen, on purpose, because you're doing your God-given destiny. You hear me? Making some great things happen. Girl, I got to show you much love because you took the time out for Brown Sugar Radio. You feel me?
Thank you.
So I'm just great. You got a heavy fan base. I mean, doing some major things. Started out with humble beginnings. I love your spirit. You know, I see your posts on Facebook, and they just truly inspire me amongst, I'm sure, thousands of other people, you know, that read and that have captured your moment with your books. The one that fascinated me the most, though, of course, was Flatline, because you know how we often hear stories about near-death experiences, but I've never known anyone that has actually flatlined and came back from that. And so it was
twice. Inspiration.
Yes, girl, I got chills right now as I'm sitting here thinking about what you went through. Just a miracle, girl, in the making. You feel me? Every day you making miracles happen with your
testimony. There's not even enough time in the day to try to explain to y'all what was going on in my life at that time.
You know, so let's go back, because I know we don't have much time. I want to go back.
No, we're going to need a part two. We're going to need a part two.
Yeah, for real. Okay. Okay, so your love for writing, because, you know, God allowed you this gift to write and to channel it into a book and express your life, what happened. girl. I mean, then all my Brown Sugar Radio Lord listeners, as I told you, she's also battling with lupus. And, I mean, the sister's got some great things going on because now she's an advocate. See, you took lemons and made a lemonade. That's what I love about your story. You didn't sit there and play the victim. You didn't sit there and say, you know, oh, feel sorry for me. This happened to me. You took it, used it, and let God make it a platform. Girl, come on, for you to do what you got to do. Humble beginnings. Let's start from before you found out you were sick. Were you interested in writing books prior to that, or was that your outlet to begin writing?
No, I don't like to write, contrary to what people think. I just happened to be good at it. I wanted to be an FBI agent. I didn't want to be a writer.
Wow.
I was in college.
Girl. Okay, I think you want to investigate some stuff. Look.
No, you know what? Okay, y'all, don't laugh. No, I wanted to kick in people's doors. I ain't care nothing about looking, nothing. I wanted the guns blazing, kicking in the door with the bulletproof vest on. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's funny.
Federal agent out there.
That's funny.
And I'm here to arrest you. Like, that's how that. I wasn't really interested about writing nobody's damn book. Like, I just wasn't. It just wasn't really my thing. But with me, as you know, I own all of my companies. I have a problem with people telling me what to do. I don't like being told what to do. I like to be in control of everything. And a lot of that, I mean, a lot of it is from me being the oldest child. A lot of it is from me always being a second command at home. My mom was a single parent. So all of those two questions, even though I was a kid, was me. Thinking about moving, what you think about this? Like, I was her best friend. So I've always been front and center. So then when you get older and things start happening that you can't control, it makes you a little more OCD. And I got sick and I couldn't control it. I can't control it now. So, you know, that's one of those things that just makes you a little more controlling in other areas.
Right.
So, you know, when it comes to certain things, I'm just like, it's this way or no way. And that's just the way it is.
So let's go back to the day. I mean, because like, I'm trying to squeeze it all in, and I'm trying, girl, listen, I know we're going to have to most definitely do a part two. I want to take it to the day that you were sick, okay? Take us to that day. What happened to the best of your knowledge? I understand you were in the hospital, you know, and, you know, you flatline. I mean, who ever thinks one day you wake up and you're going to end up in the hospital? You know, were there symptoms that were happening that you were ignoring prior to? Or kind of just walk us through that day. What happened?
Okay. At this particular point, this is day 14. Day one, I had just flown from Atlanta back into England. My husband was stationed over there in the military. And I got on this plane, and this is after me having a conversation with him, and I'm like, listen, I've been in Atlanta for 3 or 4 months. These people are telling me I'm crazy. They're telling me there's nothing wrong with me. I'm telling you, something is terribly wrong. Like, you know, it was some of the simplest things that I noticed. I'm Puerto Rican and Black. So I had a not really, really thick. I don't have coarse hair, but my hair is curly. And it's thick. I do have thick hair. So my hair started changing. And being that I went to school to do hair, I know exactly what kind of hair I had. So I started feeling it. It was brittle. And every time I combed it, it was breaking off. And I'm like, what is going on? I use hair color, but I don't use relaxers or anything like that. So I'm like, no. And I'm coloring it with the same stuff I've been coloring it with since high school. Why is all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying, it causing a problem? I couldn't understand that. So then I'm combing it. And every time I'm combing it, I'm watching it break in the floor. So it was little things that I was noticing that everybody else was like, as you were reacting. I'm like, I'm not, I'm telling y'all, my hair is falling out. And I had just had a baby. And every woman who has a baby knows, most of the time, you end up with a head full of hair. So my hair was under my back. I'm slowly watching these inches disappear. And I'm like, something ain't right. So when I flew back to England, I got sick on the airplane. I spiked the fever at 103. I kept passing out. I was like in and out of consciousness. I didn't know what was going on. And I remember them putting me up in the cockpit with the pilot because it was cooler up there and I was burning up. He said, we landed the plane. They had the doctors on the ground. And my best friend, her name is Mickey Love in the book. She's also my youngest son's godmother. She was a medic.
So she came out with the stretcher because she heard them say my name on the radio. She's like, no, that's my best friend. Let me go, you know, see what was going on. And her supervisor was like, please do, because they're saying she's a cop's wife. And, you know, she's been sick for the past 2 hours. Like, they haven't laid a plane. So
right.
The doctor looked at me. I handed him the paperwork I had from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing I did do is make them give me my medical records before I left Atlanta. So he could see the tests that they were running, even though these people were telling me I was crazy. In every sense of the word, they told me I was crazy. They were giving me Vicodin for the pain, and they were giving me antidepressants. And that nobody was really putting any time into figuring out what the issue really was. So he looked at the paperwork. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm not going to look at you and tell you that there's nothing wrong with you. He said, because clearly mm-hmm. something is wrong. I'm just not sure what it is. Because
right,
he's looking
right.
at me. My hands are shaking. I'm in a cold sweat. I got a fever
wow.
that I can't explain, and I can barely stand up on my own because I was in so much pain. And
wow.
I said, they gave me these. I had took the last Vicodin in Kansas City. So Kansas
mm-hmm.
City back to England is about 10 hours. Everybody knows painkillers are normally 4 to 6 hours, right? So see, that
right,
Vicodin
right.
wore off on that plane ride.
Uh-huh.
So I was in full-blown pain. I had went at least six hours with nothing.
Oh,
and you
my
figure
goodness.
Now we know it was lucid. So you figure in a full lucid flare, I had no pain
there. Wow, and didn't know what was going on at the time.
Not a clue.
That's crazy.
So then he looked at, he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. He said, I need to see you every single day. We're going to start testing from A to Z. And I said, okay. I said, well, where are we going to start at? He said, I'm going to have to do blood work. And I'm like, oh, man, because I was afraid of needles. So I'm like, I don't know about that. He said, well, think about it. Get back to me on Monday. I said, okay, cool. So I waited. And that weekend, I got sicker. So that Monday morning, I said, you might have to put on your big girl drawers, honey. Go on in there and get it done. And I was so afraid of needles, I would cry the minute I walked
wow.
into the lab. As soon as I knew I was about to get stuck,
okay,
I was
right. You was like, I don't want to go through this, but you know what you got to do.
But I knew it was a problem. I knew I had an issue. And my smart behind took my infant
mm-hmm.
with me back to England. My mother fought me tooth and nail. I left my oldest son in Atlanta, and I took my baby. My mother was like, you need to leave them both and go by yourself and find out what's going on. And I'm like, no. But what she didn't know was I was done. I had been sick for 6 months. And all this pain, hair falling out, face breaking out. I went from being 108-something pounds to 130. I was like, this is foolish. I'm not doing it. Like, I had already decided. I was like, I'm not doing this. I don't even know what the heck is going on.
Right.
And
because something that runs in your family, you wouldn't know the
right.
time to look for.
I didn't even
right.
think to look at that. My worst
wow.
fear was cancer, was some sort of cancer. Because my
right,
baby brother
uh-huh.
died at the age of 11 from leukemia, and my aunt died of breast cancer. So that was my worst fear. But see, when we started this A to Z workup, and I had
yeah.
no signs of any type of cancer, then I got even more nervous. Because now the only thing that I know that does run in my family is not my problem.
Wow.
You
that's
see what I'm saying?
Crazy.
So it was,
yeah.
But I knew that if I couldn't lay eyes on one of my children, I would have gave up long before.
Yeah.
They even figured out what was wrong. So I took that baby because I figured as long as he was crying and moving around, I had to keep moving too.
Right. That's it.
So that
mm-hmm.
was my...
That was your right there, your strength. And it's funny how the mother, your kids give you strength
yeah.
you didn't even know you had. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? Okay, so you started getting sicker, and mind you, at the time, you know, hair falling out, losing weight, you don't know what's going on, okay? And I'm glad you're sharing this with my listeners because I want to bring an awareness to lupus. So many people have it today and don't even know they got it. You had to actually go into, you said, what'd you call it, a flare-up? Is that the proper terminology? You had to go
yeah,
into an actual,
a lupus
okay,
flare.
In order to know you had it. There's people probably who've been walking around with it for years and don't even know they have it because they haven't had it.
Oh, honey, they know they have something because that pain ain't no joke. The pain is nothing to play with. When I tell you that pain
wow.
is no joke, you think about older people telling you they got arthritis in their hands and you put that literally. When I say head to toe, if I'm going to lose this way, I'll eat like applesauce or something like that. And the reason being is because lupus affects your joints, right? And people don't realize you got joints in so many places, including your jaws. I can't even open my mouth.
Wow.
Why not eat a sandwich or to do the chewing, because that hurts. So I'll eat, like, applesauce. I'll drink a lot of fluids. Like, I've gotten to the point where I've been dealing with it for so long, but I just move my way around anything that's going to cause me any type of extra pain.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean,
so
just
back to that day. Day 14 was the 14th day of constant blood work. So I've been getting stuck for 14 days.
Okay.
Every day, different blood tests, ruling things out. We ruled out HIV, which is good because I don't want to have to kill my husband. You know, we ruled out anything that could have been a danger. We went through the dangerous stuff first. Then they started diagnosing me with stuff, which was a bunch of false diagnoses. So day 14, I had been on aspirin for a weekend because they thought that I had something called Still's disease. And it was like 6 aspirin every 5 hours or so. But recall, because I had been in the flare so long, I wasn't eating. I was only drinking. I had stopped eating months before. So at this point, I'm like 125 pounds at 5'7". You just imagine what I look like. And I got up and I got the baby blood. I remember that part. And I remember one of the other cops coming to the house because she was going to watch the baby while I went to the hospital to go get another set of tests. I'm still testing. We still ain't figured out the problem. But I was dehydrated, and that much I knew because I didn't have no energy. So I stood up to open the door for her, and I fell down on the couch. So I screamed, I was like, it's open. So she said, where you going? I said, I got to go back to the hospital. So I got up to go grab the keys again and sat on the couch again. She said, Ebony, you can't drive yourself. I said, yes, I can. She said, no, you can't. I said, yeah, I can. Got up again and fell back on the couch again. But I had no energy. I was weak. Mm. I was busy. But I was determined I was going to do it by myself because I had been doing it.
Okay, right.
And my husband was in Iraq. So he went there. He was in Iraq fighting a war. So I had to get it done. So she took my keys from me. She said, no, I'm going to take you. I said, okay. So we put the baby in the car seat. She held my hand. We walked to the car. We drove to the base. I lived about 5 minutes off the base in a house. We drove to the base and we walked inside and she was holding my hand. I walked up to the counter and I found my name on the paper. And that's all I remember until I remember waking up and just kind of seeing doctors running around. It was one set of doctors on my left, one on my right, both of them trying to stick IVs in both arms, can't get it in. So my understanding, it took them about an hour to get the IV in because I was so dehydrated.
Wow.
And
girl,
my fever
had
spiked up to 104, and my blood pressure was 85 over 52, so my body went in shock.
Hmm.
All because I had untreated lupus for like a year. Yep, my baby was 10 and a half months when I got diagnosed, and they believe it started when I was pregnant with him. Because my youngest son was 9 pounds, 8 ounces, but I had him at 36 weeks.
Hmm.
And I had an emergency cesarean. So it was,
so that,
you know,
triggered
it's kind of hard to catch. So they said that, yeah, it was an on, yeah, because everything started since I am.
Mm-hmm.
Everything started. As soon as I gave that, all here.
Right, so it lay dormant all these years until you had your second child.
Yep.
Wow, look at that.
My
you
oldest
see what I'm
was
saying?
8'11", and my baby was 9'8". My oldest, I carried 42 weeks. My baby, I carried 36 weeks, and he was still 9 pounds, 8 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And came out at the hospital for 2 days, and I was back at home.
So at this point,
with
you know, all of that happening and transpiring, now, wonder you're so close, because, listeners, I want to share with you real quick. One of the things I love about K.S. Oliver is that she incorporates her family, you know, her sons, and, you know what I mean? You ought to see her page. I mean, they work with their mom as far as building her legacy, you know, and it's beautiful to see that you incorporate your children with promoting your books or with the photo shoots that you do. I mean, it's great, you know, and I'm sure that was a scary part, you know what I mean, for them also, who at least maybe the older one that probably knew a little bit more of what was going on, and they look at you now every day as, I'm fortunate to have my mom, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's beautiful. And so as far as with the book, you know, I wanted to share, you know, so you went through this. God allowed you to have a second chance, which is beautiful, you know, and once you were aware of it, I want you to tell the listeners as far as how strongly you feel now about advocating and educating other, you know, women and men about this dreadful, you know, disease, lupus?
I think it's really, really important that people be aware of some of these chronic illnesses that you've never heard of. The ones that you never heard of are silent. Lupus is considered to be an invisible disease because it's hard to trace, and you won't know somebody has lupus by looking at them. Y'all see me, people look at me, they're like, oh, but you're so pretty. But what does that have to do with anything? Has nothing to do with nothing.
You look healthy, yeah.
You saw my body inside out, I guarantee you my organs are all over the place. Has nothing to do with anything. The prettiest woman in the world can be sick.
You didn't say something right there. It's important to go to the doctor. If y'all feel some pain, if you feel some tingling, listen to that small voice. Okay,
and don't let
call
nobody
intuition.
Say she's crazy. Don't let nobody say you don't lost your mind. Because my first inclination that something was going on was the fact that my hair felt different.
See what I'm saying?
And because I knew
and
better.
Especially in the black culture. Yes.
I'm trying to tell you.
We have I did a show on hair care, you know, and I was thinking about just how we neglect our bodies, and it's important to make sure you know, you eat right and that you go to your doctor appointment. And so this is why it really, your story fell along with what I've been advocating on Brown Sugar Radio is self-love, you know, taking that extra step to go to the doctor, even when you don't feel like it. That's a part of self-love. And so now I want you to share with the listeners, you know, what do you do on a daily basis to take care of yourself? You know, as far as we know, you write beautiful, and that's an outlet, even though it's funny if you don't like to write. But what do you do to take care of yourself now that you're
out? I'm coming out of writing. I'm done writing. I'm not writing. Well, I'm working on an urban novel, but I'm going into publishing. I enjoy to read. I've always been an avid reader, so I'm going to stick with what I like.
Right, there you go, okay? Because you're still going to be used. You know what I'm saying? You told your story. It's out there. Now you have another avenue. Like I said, you're building a dynasty now. You know, you have the books, and now you're building, an awareness with lupus. It's beautiful what you are doing,
you.
You know? And, I mean, you just on the move, girl, got all kind of stuff going on. You know,
I try. Well, you know, it's about keeping yourself busy. People don't realize, you know, although when you look up lupus, you look at the pain and the butterfly rashes and all of the other stuff, people don't think about how much wear and tear it has on a person mentally. When I first got diagnosed, once I did wake up and they kind of told me what was going on, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm thinking, I'm great. I can do this. It took a couple of days. But when the prescriptions came in that room, and that list of what you can't do, you like, wait a minute. What you mean I can't? That's who? That's what bothered me. It wasn't even the diagnosis within itself. It's all of the changes that came with it that I didn't like. Because
the limitations.
Like they allowed somebody else to tell me what to do.
Right, and you like, I'm used to being in control of this. Hold on a minute.
Right. And then swallowing.
So did your diet have to change extremely?
No, see, that's one thing they're not getting me to do. They tried, and I'm just not having it. I've learned always around some of the rules. I mean, clearly, I probably would never have a lupus flare if I went on the lupus diet, which is no red meat and all this other stuff. But what people don't understand, too, is that lupus is like a doorway. You know how your mama used to say to close her damn door because she didn't want mosquitoes in her house? Okay.
Right.
That's lupus. You open that door, and lupus comes in, and so do everything else. So as it stands, I just turned 30 in December, and I have 7 diagnoses, and I actually just got a new one. So now 8. You know, appeasing the lupus could be damaging to something else that I have to deal with. One of the things with the lupus diet is no red meat, but I have extremely low iron. And because of the lupus, it's a deficiency in my body. So even taking iron pills doesn't bring my iron to level. So I also have to eat the food to try to even it out.
So I could
stop eating the red meat and control the lupus, but then I could send something else haywire. So I have to be careful as to what I do to try to keep everything on a level playing field. Does that make sense?
Look, yes, absolutely. Absolutely,
so,
you know.
It's crazy.
And so I want for you to share, because we only have like a few minutes remaining. I'm definitely going to have you back because this is really touching my heart, you know, just with everything you went through, and you still have such a positive, optimistic attitude. I love your spirit, the vibrations that you send. You know what I mean? You're not a victim. You're like, I'm victorious through this. And that's what I love, you know, when I see the pictures of you. Matter of fact, all the Laura Brown Sugar Radio listeners, it's beautiful because of the fact that just recently her and her husband just renewed their vows. I mean, girl, you living. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I got this second chance. I'm going to make this second chance worth my while. You know, that's what I get when I see you doing your thing. Yes. It's beautiful what you're doing. And so how many years has it been now since you and your husband have been married?
It'll be 8 in September.
Oh, see, and there you go.
Y'all,
and that's
flatlined too. I tried to kill him once, so it ain't perfect.
It
ain't perfect, but it's mine.
Okay.
I mean, I went to jail. Simple
girl, that's funny. See, look, but you
no,
keep it real.
I say that because people be thinking like she got it made. No, she's normal. She hot tempered just like most women. And when another woman starts coming into my space, the all hell breaks loose, and I have to reiterate the fact that I'm me. I'm Queen B, and that's what it is. That's what it's always gonna be until one of us end up in the grave. So I need y'all to both have sympathy.
Girl,
that's
funny.
Just what it is.
Uh-uh,
I think
well,
most
okay.
women would be able to relate to that part of the book.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know what, I was just going to say that, too. That just makes your books more interesting, more to write about.
Yeah. Well, because
I wanted you to share any special events that you may
life.
Have. Right, that's
you
real life.
You
say
any special
okay.
good girl, let me tell you something, my two pieces, everything.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
what I'm just there you go. For my listeners, I want for you to share with them, where can they reach you at, because we only have like a minute or so remaining. Where can they reach you at as far as any questions they may have to purchase your books or any special events coming up where you may be attending?
Well, my website is www.authorksoliver.com. There you can find all of my titles and my children's titles. Lupus Awareness T-shirt, Cancer Awareness T-shirt. I also have some stuff coming up for my new company, which is Diamante Publications. Diamante is the Spanish word for diamond. As I said earlier, I'm Puerto Rican and Black, so I wanted to incorporate a little bit of me into the name. There will be T-shirts and glasses and things up there for the company as well. I am on Facebook, Ebony Oliver. I also have an author page, author KS Oliver. I have Instagram, author KS, and Twitter, author KS. I follow everybody back. Not bougie, very laid back. I enjoy talking to my readers, getting the feel for what they, you know, what they think about my writing, even what I can change. I'm all for constructive criticism. So bring it on.
Excellent. All right. Well, there you go. So y'all heard it here live on Brown Sugar Radio. I do see we have a tremendous amount of callers that are holding, and I'm sure they want to get at you and speak. But I can't take any calls because I'm actually out of time. The show is getting ready to end. But what I will do is have you back on the air again for a part two, because I knew we wouldn't get it all in today. And I just wanted you to just put it out there as far as what is your mission, you know, right now, what is it that you see yourself in the next 5-10 years, your calling that God has called you to, before we close?
Sit on top of the world.
All right.
I just want to be happy. That's all. I want to enjoy life. I want to build my businesses and be prosperous and all that good stuff. The same thing most people want. I want my children to look at me like that's my mama.
Okay.
I want
that's
them
it.
To be proud of me. I don't really care what anybody else thinks. I want them to
that's
look
it.
At me and be proud of the woman that I am.
Okay, and know where they came from. That's it.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. I have enjoyed having you. I hate to let you go. Girl, I get attached to my guests on the show. Listen, we got to come back. 30 minutes
here
is not enough time. But I just want to thank you for this time that you did grant us with today. Definitely want to have you back, follow up maybe in a month or two, see what's the latest things you got. And maybe the second time I'll open up the call lines, because I see we have so many callers that are holding on the air. But definitely we got to have you back for that part two. All right, maybe we can do a roundtable discussion.
I'm game.
Keeping it real, okay, with the Queen of Lit.
I am game.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on to Brown Sugar Radio today and certainly inspiring my listeners. And we'll definitely have you back again soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Take care.
You too.
All right. So there you have it there, all my little Brown Sugar Radio listeners. You heard it first here live on Brown Sugar Radio. Make sure that you show this sister some love. She's doing some awesome things in the community. I love positivity. I love people that, you know, are go-getters. She definitely has both of those qualities. So definitely check her out on her Facebook, Instagram. Support. That's what this is all about, is support and showing love. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment is extraordinary. You make it a great day.